Paul, it's really lovely to be here. All the way from down under, Tasmania. Australians sometimes leave us off the map altogether, so you can count me as an Australian or not. I was born in England and my father's Irish. So. I'm going to start by reading a small poem inspired by a day in the bank where we're all lined up as you do to make our transactions, and a poor woman was in there trying to get her blank check cashed. Bank. Flanked by easy transactions, her voice tense as a circus hush, one hand waving the welfare check like a war zone flag, the other warming the handle of the getaway pram, eyes in the back of her head round up the other three kids, as she explains again, it's made out to cash, not her. She isn't anyone. On the run from all kinds of hands on, hands off, and yeah, she knows banks can't account for a woman without ID. But that's the whole point, she sighs. Flag igniting, pram combusting. The whole family inside a circle of flames is crying, and we will not be moved. Our best intentions vaulted for posterity. Fingers to the lips of our purses. Humanity on the tips of our tongues. My mother trained as a teacher and in Australia, and then took a year off to travel with some girlfriends. And during that time, she kept a small diary of her travels and then passed it on to me. My mother's travel diary begins with murder. The ship's departure from Melbourne delay. A passenger suspect detained for questioning. My mother's blood singing with the operatic thrill of it all. As if death makes everything else forgivable. Her motto, penciled in under maps of the world, to ensnare hearts in every country, never die not knowing. On the Indian Ocean, she dreams of honour among thieves, her name on foreign tongues. In Ireland, the kissing of the stone makes her a loyal tourist only. There is pub crawling with Cubans in Madrid, perfecting smoke rings and smoke screens while acquiring a taste for older men. Hitchhiking to Rome for a papal blessing, after picnicking on fried octopus with Franco, Adriano, Luigi. French nuns on motorbikes and moments in gondolas in the land of many waters. My mother's travel diary begins with murder and ends in the year of my birth, the year of the dragon and other endangered species. Each page a maiden voyage, the whole thing bound and zipped in sky blue vinyl, like the body bagged after the soul's great escape. A small response to a catastrophic event. Reality TV. Any minute now, King Kong will appear beating his chest against man's inhumanity. Any minute now, a phoenix rising from the towering inferno. Any minute now, evidence of special effects. Any minute now, a trail of credits to reassure us audience participation wasn't necessary. Any minute now, the everyday bodies will stop falling to their unscripted deaths. Any minute now, the TV will turn itself off like a third eye that's seeing too much it can't touch. Any minute now, ghosts will scramble the airwaves, forever marking us with their SOS any minute now. Better find something lighter, huh? Inventing a God. If I could invent any God for you, it would be the child God, whose worlds are anthill, bird nest, cloud shape, who would colour you in, dancing, spill you outside yourself, give you feathers for arms, tiny feet that skip across the universe, an oversized mouth laughing, everything in overlapping reds and yellows. Say, this is you, happy, so you know. If I could invent any God for you, it would be the brave God, who would never tire of kissing your blind spots, who would send her own ghosts on ahead to light the way. I'm the eldest of six, was the eldest of six in my family, five girls and one boy, and our brother passed away about 15 years ago now, from cancer at the age of about 38. He was a bit of a hippie. Dear Dave, the pouch you left, champion ruby tobacco laced with Mullumbimby head, fell into the right hands. Anything to see your smile through the haze once more. But apparitions are deceptive. You were who you were, not the boy who could have been, famous sprinter, football player, not the man who never was, husband, father. You lived behind a smoke screen, behind a smoke screen, shacked up with Jimi Hendrix, screeching through the speakers of a 1970 combi like he'd never heard of anyone choking on their own vomit. The quintessential dropout, you said no to mobile phones, one-night stands, politically correct gods, whose faith always set another place just in case, whose death wish was only ever half-hearted. As you predicted, my poems leave me with more questions than I start out with, which keeps me writing, clever you. I am warming to the Stones' green ginger wine. Thanks for the introduction. The girls, you know, young women really, are managing to keep their feet on the ground long enough to round the next bend. Their surviving hearts expand and contract as needs must. The youngest has her own boxing bag, wishes that she'd hugged you toward the end, but knows that sometimes you can only anchor yourself to yourself. The eldest belly dances as if she is offering the world a cure. Talk of death is largely by association. We are afraid if we name it, we will become it. Still, there is hope, that bone in the throat soft enough to swallow. I dip into your journals and find clues on travelling alone. Grain-eating birds flying straight and low are headed for water. White wood ash spat into a paste can ease an aching belly. Shadows mark bearings. Love is the only prejudice worth having. Should I stop growing, cut me down before I fall. Something lighter. I don't know if you have had all your lollies of yesteryear reframed and renamed. Did you just have the little lolly cigarettes here and call them fags? Yeah, and you can't call them fags anymore because you know, so yeah. Does that happen here?
You still call them. Yeah,
do you? We had to rename them something. I can't remember what it was now. When the world was lollies, so sweet. Sweeties, do you say here, lollies? When the world was lollies, we could hold fags in the corners of our mouths until image was lost on addiction. We didn't know we were being prophetic, running tongues over false teeth. And when the sherbet bombs went quietly off, our sucking mouths were slow to smiles. High on the dissolve, No one could tell us. No one could predict. Our suddenly missing bits, the fantail wrappers couldn't fix. Cause. There's a man who wakes our street to that hour between witching and dawn, most used for dying and for being born. He paces and moans like he already knows who will be taken and who will be left alone. Those of us who dare untuck a sleep-warm arm, raise a dream-filled head and peek from safe houses at the shape of such a man. But it is the hour and tone that warn us. We roll over, keep listening, some of us urging him on and on. Some of us double-checking locks and the breathing of sleeping children. Some of us remembering where the bullets are hidden, our trigger fingers twitching like guilt between the sheets. Some of us think we understand, and loved ones have to hold us back from running out into the night, ready to join our rusty voices to his, desperate for a cause. The unwritten law of living. Everything worth anything must break. It is the unwritten law of living. Day, bread, vows, egg, any favoured piece of crockery or glassware. How long did you think it would last? One quarter of our body's bones are in our feet. Mind the step, the signs read, but feet soldier on, oblivious. Of all the rules worth breaking, do not fraternise. No x-ray will show the number of breaks a heart can outlive. Such knowledge, it is rumoured, could kill us. Introduction to origami. The passenger list from bus number 42 reads like a who's who from the wrong side of town. The pregnant girls are swapping stories of badass boys. They know their mums will be there every Friday, every Saturday night, holding the baby while they nurse one more for the road. The only way to avoid a hangover, they nod, is to stay drunk. A man is crying real tears over the fate of his girlfriend who only ever lifted credit cards from neglected handbags. He got less time for breaking and entering. Truly, he doesn't know what the world is coming to. The angry old digger scowls from a corner, tells the bloody chinks, speak English, you're in my country now. Then this one day, no different from the rest, another woman wrestling her wayward child into the seat behind the driver, where she's learned it's safer than being trapped in the middle or fair game down the back. Other passengers drop their voices, some don't. Do they think she doesn't know what they say? Not right upstairs, that one, not the full quid. And she strokes his lovely wild head. Let us imagine it this way, as she can only imagine it. As he flaps and bangs his hands against the seat, and the humming grows louder, as a guttural threat issues from across the aisle, if you don't shut that kid up, I will. As the gel-spiked head of the teenager in front turns with a magician's timing, starts folding his bus ticket this way, that way, quick, intricate folds over and over, until the boy grows quiet and still with, let us imagine, finally, something close to joy. Moored in the palm of his hand, this tiny paper boat, impossibly detailed, spontaneous as a blown kiss. So you can clap for any of the other ones, so that means you want me to finish now, or you only like that one, or it's all right. After our brother died, I was really struck by the fact that there's no word for parents who outlive their children, that we have, you know, the widows and we have the orphans, but we have no word for this. No word. Prefaced by, when will you learn that there isn't a word for everything? Nicole Krauss, The History of Love. No word, good or bad enough to equal the deed. No word for hello in Gaelic. Each greeting an exchange of blessings, making sacred both the way forward and the way back. No word to wake the dead or describe how it feels when the dead visit, when they tell you it's time to start living. No word for the life we meant to live or the one we're left to answer for. No word before the word. No word for how the ocean knows to deepen its voice when night steals our view. No word for what passes between strangers evolving. No word for the kind of loneliness only company can evoke. Cultures with no word for war, still war. Even the widowed and orphaned have no word for those of us who outlive our children. No word. I'm going to read this one for my new friend Maria over here. We were talking about travelling and I was trying to describe my impression of Singapore, which was a little bit like Legoland. Singapore through a crack in reality. Where the trains never run on time because police are planting pawns between the sleepers hoping to get caught. Where girls practicing clean dance moves in underground malls give way to deeper longings while boys watch and weep in recognition. Where graffiti teaches high art the difference between timeless and now. And phones radiate differently as telemarketers turn conversation inward. Where laughter clubs are a joke and shopping is finite, where the death penalty is a threat you can't pay anyone enough to carry out, where the smog lifts and lifts. And those poems were from my new and selected, and I'll just finish by reading a couple in my latest book, Parts of the Main. Proof of existence. I wake with garbo, wanting to be alone. It's that kind of morning. The mould on my to-do list outgrowing whatever small purpose I had given myself then failed to believe in. And now I want all the possibilities, all the privileges of this spring day to myself. Whatever hidden truths the walk in the park might reveal, loosed from the obligations, the diversions of technology and time. I take the delirious risk of leaving my phone at home, and soon my mind is drifting, then spinning, past identity, past the time sharing of invested relationships, past the design of my ambulating body, past even this solitude and the freedom to choose it, past territories real and imagined, until before I know it, I've reached the Amazon rainforest, where canopies of trees are falling like the bones of oracles, and a research plane is flying just low enough to photograph thatched huts, crops of banana, papaya, naked ochre-painted people with raised spears, arched bows, poised arrows, proof of existence. We tilt our masked faces to the cloudless sky as the giant metal bird passes overhead, circling but not flapping its wings, circling but not landing, only watching for what seems like a day and a night, watching us. The whites of its many eyes flashing like bits of exploding sun. And I'll finish on a slightly lighter one again, the birds. Before the first whistle of the first kettle of the day, the birds. Before the push and pull of compass mentis, resistance or compliance, the birds. Before the first cow is milked, the first dog kissed or kicked, the birds. Before the first call to prayer or battle, before drum or bugle, the birds. Before the first child cries out from joy or panic or just plain habit, the birds. Before the all-nighters coax backward body clocks to sleep against the grain, the birds. Before the bread bakers and garbage collectors and retro town criers, the birds. Before the line is cast, the bait taken and paid for, the birds. Before the search engine finds that first tweet of the day, to be wanting, the birds. The birds. Thank you.